For you are great, yes you are, O Holy One. You walked upon the sea, you raised the dead. You reign in majesty, Almighty God. Oh, everything written about you is great. I'm gonna sing it again. For you are great, yes you are, oh Holy One. You walked upon the sea, you raised the dead. Hallelujah. You are great, you are great, you are great. Hallelujah. You are great,
you are great.
Oh yes, you are great,
you are great.
Yes, Lord,
you are great.
Oh yes, you are great,
you are great.
Oh, you are great,
you are great.
Oh, everything written about you. Yes, we worship you, Lord, this morning. Everything you do is great. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord, that you are always good towards your children. Hallelujah, we worship you. Praise your name. Sing it all together to the top. You are great. Yes, you are, Lord.
For you are great. Yes, you are.
All the praise as we lift our hands to you.
Hallelujah. Let's sing it all together. Yes, Lord, for you are God.
For you are
Father, we are thankful for the wonderful opportunity accorded us once again to present ourselves before you, as we should at all times. But more than being thankful that we are able to come, we are thankful that you have given us access, that you have chosen us and called us and ordained us. You have, in a very special way, separated us and called us holy, sanctified unto you. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful grace. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that you are the God who's lit us. And Lord, we came into an awareness that, Lord, O God, that your loving kindness has been dispatched to cause us, O God, to come to life. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to hear you and to be transformed by the hearing of faith. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for grace. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for revelation and for truth. Thank you, Lord, for a new day and a new beginning. A new season, which is unending. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It's good to have you this wonderful evening in the house of the Lord. We're going to get into the word of the Lord right away and hear what Father has to say to us. As I consulted with the Lord concerning what he will say to us this evening, he kept on reminding me of a particular incident in the Word of God found in the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter. And it is from that chapter that we are going to continue the Word of the Lord this evening. The chapter starts out, interestingly enough, with a story that we just touched a little bit this morning. And it is a story of the centurion. The Bible tells us that after the Lord, verse 1, after the Lord had ended all his sayings, and I don't want to go into those sayings because it's a stretch of stuff and very vital and important, but will get us off course for now. He says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Capernaum, or Kaphar Nahum, is the village of Nahum, and this was the capital, the headquarters of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where his ministry launched out from. Whenever he wanted to go anywhere, he will go from Capernaum and come back to Capernaum. This was his headquarters. Just like Winnipeg is headquarters for me and Mama, no matter where we go, we come back to Winnipeg. Capernaum is that to the Lord. So after he'd finished saying all he had to say in the place of Capernaum, he says, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. He was ready to die. So he's not dead at this point. He comes to the Lord and he's invoking help. He says, and when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal his servant. So he didn't have an access to the Lord, but he knew some people that had access. And he says, please ask him if he can heal my servant. My servant is sick. He's almost dying. I need that guy. He says, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly. They were fast at it. As soon as they heard, they asked. I pray that there will be people around you and around me that will get on the ball right away. They won't waste and procrastinate and find reasons why they should not. They will get on top of the ball right away. And they said to him that he was worthy for whom he should do this. He was worthy. This morning we talked about Dorcas and how worthy she was because of her deliberate giving, how she was doing things for people, and how that giving caused her to live again. Now you're going to see here again how giving is a conduit to living. They said he was worthy for whom he should do this. Why? For he loveth our nation and he hath built us a synagogue. He built a church for them. He was not a believer, but he built a church for them. He was a giver. That's why they moved instantly. This guy's a good guy. Do people jump on the ball for you because you're a giver? Do the angels of God move and say, hey, boss, you got to do something for this young man. He's a giver. You need this guy. Your giving opens doors for you. This centurion in Acts chapter 10, it was his giving that opened doors for him. He became the first Gentile that received the Holy Ghost And it was so shocking to Peter and everybody else that God bypassed them. Listen, God bypassed Peter and gave to Cornelius and his family, his entire household, the Holy Spirit. They were shocked. And when the others heard that these guys had received the Holy Ghost, they chastised Peter. And Peter says, it's not my fault, oh, it's not my fault. I was just there, and it is God. Well, guys, weren't you there? Weren't you there? You saw it. Did I do anything? No, you didn't do anything. The Holy Spirit just came on them, and they began speaking in tongues. Why? They were givers. And here it is. He loveth our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. You got to do something for me. Do something for him. And then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. I'm just a plain old sinner. I wanted these guys to, you know, to talk for me. You know, I didn't expect that you'll come here, you know. So what is the solution? He says, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. All I want you to do is just speak the word. What? You're not a believer? You don't think you're worthy? You keep on giving to the purposes of God? I'm here, and you say, I'm not worthy. I'm a mess up. Don't come here, please. Don't come. But just say a word. Just say a word. Just say, my servant should be healed, and it's going to be happening. He says, why? Why? For I also am a man under authority, and I know that you're a man under authority. I want you to notice this statement. For I also am a man set under authority. Set under authority. Set under authority. Set under authority. I'm a man set under authority. And I know that when you are set under authority and you have somebody who's covering you, that you have a backer. And all the things I've been hearing about you, I know you're a person who is set under authority, because whatever it is that you're doing, you have a backer. The question I must ask myself then is this: am I a man under authority? Do I recognize that? He says, I'm a man set, positioned under authority. I have somebody who's over me and a force that I'm operating under. In his case, it was this Roman government. And it didn't matter how skilled and how capable and how powerful, how smart those that were underneath him were. They were commissioned to listen to him, because the authority said that he was the centurion and he was the boss man of them all. It didn't matter whether he was short like Napoleon or tall like a Goliath. It didn't matter what his size was. When he spoke, they had to obey. Is somebody listening? You're a man under authority. He says, and I have under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I'm a man under authority. And as a man under authority, my words are powerful. They move people to do whatever it is they need to do. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This is a Gentile that knows how things work. He knows how things work. Do you know that God wants you to understand your world, and that he uses whatever it is that he has put into you to be applied in a very spiritual sense? This man applied his experience and crossed it over to the other side and said, if this is this true in this realm, over here, it must be true. And he applied it. And Jesus, our Lord, was astounded at his application. For example, a few weeks ago, I taught you from the book of Proverbs, where the word of God says that if you have something in your hands that can solve another person's problem and the person comes to you, don't withhold it from them. And I said to you, if this is true about God, or God is requiring that of me, then by implication, it is also true of him. If it is within his power to do something, he must not withhold it from me. That's the application of a truth from here to here. If God says, if I sin or somebody sins against me, I have to forgive that person 70 times, 7 times in one day, God doesn't want me to outdo him, he's got to do the same thing. Hello? Application. However, I must understand that if somebody, even though I forgive you 70 times, 70 times a day, that you practicing that kind of sinfulness breaks a relationship. It strains a relationship. If that is true here, it is also true here. Because the word of God says, I'm not deaf. I'm not blind. It is your sin that's separating us. In fact, if you sin against somebody that much, you don't want to hang around because you start feeling bad about yourself. How terrible am I that I'm always doing all this crazy stuff? So you got to change that. Amen? Hallelujah. This centurion made an application of truth. He says, and they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Healed. Why? Jesus spoke the word. Now, the passage that the Lord wants me to talk to you about for a moment is this next one. That had happened in the life of a man that was a giver. But word of God says, and it came to pass the day after, the next day, that he went into a city called Nain. Jesus went into a city, and the city was called Nain. And says, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. So he's been followed around. They come to Nain, and Nain, the meaning of that word Nain is beauty. Beauty. We talked about beauty this morning as we talked about Jaffa. Now, they come to this city, a lot of people are following him. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of this city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. So people knew this woman. She was not just anybody. Why is it that they know her? You know, you can be known for bad things. You can be known for being a grouch. But that does not mean that when something bad happens to you, anybody's going to come alongside. So there's something about this woman that is so attractive that people came alongside of her. She was a widow, and now her only son is dead. Can you imagine? Whether she's wealthy or not, it doesn't matter at this point. But this woman is married. She has a son. She's raising that son with her husband. And one day, the husband says, "My head, my head, my head, my head is hurting. Okay, let me take you to the hospital." And on their way to the hospital, he dies. They have a young child. She raises this child, sends the child through elementary school, through high school. Now he's done his years in the university. He is set for life. He starts his business, and when life is just about to be amazing for this woman, all cylinders firing, her only son dies. Now she's left alone, all by herself. Son is dead. Bad things happen to people in life. Dorcas was a wonderful woman, loved by everybody because she gave, but the Bible says she got sick and died. Bad things just don't just happen to bad people. And we say, okay, this bad thing happened to such and such a person. He deserves it. If something bad happens to Hitler, we'll say, he deserves it. Something bad happens to Idi Amin, we'll celebrate. The man is dead. It's a bad guy. But if you're a Mother Teresa, taking care of lepers in Calcutta, and something bad happens to you, we'll all bawl on it. Because she does not deserve that. Can you imagine a Mother Teresa ministering to lepers with all the leprosy for years and years and years and years, and she did not get the disease? That is power. Doesn't matter whether she was Catholic or Pentecostal or whatever. That's power. The power of giving of yourself to help somebody else make it. That's power. Much people followed her. And the Bible says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Wow. And says unto her, weep not. It's okay. Don't cry anymore. Yeah, it's easy for you to say, weep not. My only son is dead. I woke up this morning and my son was alive. And now he's dead. And I have to bury him today. But the Lord says, don't weep. Stop crying. And he came and touched the bearer. And they that bore him stood still. He came and touched the coffin. The guys stopped. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Wow. Jesus stopped a funeral procession. It was finished. This was spilled milk. This was scrambled eggs. Jesus came there and unscrambled scrambled eggs. He comes and he says to the young man that was dead, I say unto thee, arise. Why? He was a man under authority. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself in Philippians chapter 2, even unto death, that God the Father gave him a name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. This morning we said something that I would like to repeat again. It's a truth that you know. But this morning I brought to us the implication of that truth that we know. I reminded us that the Word of God says that God in Genesis 1 spoke and he recreated the world. He spoke. He spoke words and this became. But then when we come to Psalm 33, it tells us that that speaking, that creation was by the breath of his mouth. And then we took it back to Genesis. And we found out in Genesis that the breathing of his mouth is how God brought you and I back to life. How God created us. God breathed into us and we became living souls of speaking spirits. Actually, that's a proper translation. and man became a speaking spirit. So we said, if the Word created everything, and the Word that created everything is the breath of God, and put your hand in front of your mouth and start talking, say something. Do you see that there's breath coming out? You see that? Okay, because you cannot speak without breath. It's impossible. So when God spoke, breath came out and filled us. And that breath is the Word of God. And that breath is the Spirit of God. For the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are what? Life. God spoke, and I came alive. Wow. So we pulled it, and we went to John 1. And we said, in John 1 it says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created without the Word. And that Word was Jesus. So we made the implication, or the application of that truth, that when God breathed into me, He breathed into me Jesus. Ah. Did you get that? So by implication and by application of that truth, every time I speak, I am creating something. Line up now. Every time I speak, I'm creating something. So the question I need to ask myself is, what am I creating every time I speak? What am I creating? Am I saying, I am broke? Oh, you just created that. You just created your broke self. So the Word of God says, let the poor say, I am what? Rich. Ah, let the weak say, I am what? Strong. Stop confirming your problem. Speak your solution. Stop saying, my marriage is doomed. Ah, say, I have a blessed family. My husband loves me. My wife loves me. I am happily married. Praise God. No matter how crazy that guy is, just say what you want, not what your circumstance is. Jesus didn't say, hey, that guy. He said, young man, arise. He didn't say, until they forced him to say it. He didn't say Lazarus was dead. He said Lazarus was what? Asleep. Let's go wake him up. Do you see where our problem is? We are praying prayers and we are creating more problems. God answers and we dump junk on the blessings that God has for us. God bless me. Oh, but I'm so defeated. Okay, defeat has just covered your blessing. What are you doing? What are we doing? Why are we endangering our lives with the words that come forth out of our mouths? Oh, my children, they're just a bunch of losers. Okay. They will be exactly what you say. You shall have what you say. Is that what the Word of God says? You shall have what you say. So if you don't want what you're about to say, shut your mouth and say what you want. Oh, but I'll be lying. Really? When you say I'm rich and your pocket is empty, you'll be lying? Interesting. You know, Jesus had no money in his pocket. And the tax collector came collecting. And Jesus says, go catch a fish, open the mouth. Because the blessing, the answer, is in the mouth. Say, the answer is in the mouth. The answer you and I need is in our mouths. If we are to be a great people, we must speak greatness out of our mouths. Hallelujah. Jesus goes to that young child, the young man, and he says, young man, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to do what? Speak. And he delivered him to his mother. You know, what do you think he was saying when he rose up? You think he was saying, oh, poor me. Oh, I'm dead. No. He might have said something like, what am I doing here? What on earth am I doing in this coffin? Who put me in a coffin? I was sleeping in my bed. Who put me in this coffin? Who's playing this joke on me? Your language got to change. You take a broke person, give him a job, pay him all kinds of stuff, and give him a few months, he'll be back to his same old broke self. Because he'll keep on speaking his past into his present and into his future. Create a future that is dynamic, because you are saying what God's word says. You understand that you are under authority and Jesus lives inside of you, and that this Jesus who lives inside of you is a creating Jesus. He has creative force, and the word of God says that you and I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not a schizophrenic mind. Hallelujah. The mind of Christ is not confused. It is in order. And no matter how much pressure comes against you, say what you want. Now, we all mess up by saying the wrong things. Every one of us does. When I'm tired, I'm tired. If you ask me, oh, you don't, I'm saying, I'm tired. I remember one time I said, I am tired, and my spiritual father rebuked me. He said, stop saying that. Stop saying that. Because the more you say it, the more it comes on you. Like this morning, like white on rice. So stop saying it. The word of God says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and get to fighting. Hallelujah. So how long am I going to fight? As long as you are alive, you're going to fight. Oh, whether you like it or not, you are going to fight. You're minding your own business and the devil will be pelleting you. So you better put on that shield of faith and quench every fiery dart and find where that dart is coming from and behead that sucker that is busy messing with you. Say, you know, that's what David did. Goliath is busy spouting off and say, I'm going to feed you to the birds and the beasts of the field. And David says, no, that's not going to happen. Because what's going to happen, I tell you what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. You are a dead man. I'm going to not just feed you to the birds, because, I'm going to do more than that. All of your gang, they're all going under too. I'm going to clean all of you out and feed you to the birds and to the beasts of the field, and I'm coming to you now. And the guy starts running towards Goliath. And Goliath saying, look at this red face, nobody. Oh, you're not fighting against me. You're fighting against my God. You blaspheme my God. I'm taking you out. Bam! That's the last thing Goliath saw. He didn't even see what hit him. He was down. And David went there, takes Goliath's sword, and the weight of the sword cut Goliath's head off. And he grabs Goliath's head and walks into the city of Jerusalem. Even before they captured that city, well in advance, he entered with Goliath's head. And while he was entering into Goliath's, with Goliath's head, he saw all of the tunnels. And when they told him, you and your people cannot come inside this city, it is fortified, he went through the tunnels and showed up on the inside. When he carried Goliath's head, he was saying, every one of you that messes with me, this is how you're going to end up. See this head? See this little kid? I took out the big guy. And anybody who messes with me, you're going to be exactly like this. You see it? Take your enemy that you've defeated with thanksgiving to God and display to the forces of darkness. Let them know, don't mess with me. And don't mess with my children. And above all, don't mess with my God. I'm going to say what God says about me. He says, I'm head and not tail, above only and not beneath. For whatever is born of God came from above, and that which is from above is above all. I am not beneath anybody. I'm above all forces of darkness. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray today that you and I have heard the word of God and that we are energized by the Spirit of truth to experience the goodness of the Lord in this land of the living. I am blessed now and at all times. No matter what my circumstances tries to broadcast, I'm going to say, the Lord has met all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God for every one of you. Thank God for those that gave towards the goal. I don't know what the amount is presently. I will have that amount, and I'll let you know. But we're going to do our best to dispatch whatever funds that we have to meet that need and get that family that's in the bondage of slavery out of that place. Amen? And we'll receive the pictures, I'm certain, of what God has done for them. And so we're trusting God that we will not just have that which we need to get them out, but that they will have extra. Amen? Extra to start their new life outside of that place of bondage. There's a good team in that great nation that will help them, train them again to work. They know how to work already, doing those bricklaying and stuff. Now they will learn new skills and they will do much better, they and their children. And as often as the Lord helps us, we will try to get somebody out of those brickens. Amen? Get them out of that place of enslavement. Praise God. God is good. Just do it as soon as you can. Okay? As soon as you can. But we're going to make sure, one way or the other, that we get that family out of there ASAP. Amen? Praise God. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. And as we honor God with our giving, remember what I said to us, the strategy that the Lord gave to me to share with you. And that strategy was, Lord, speak for me. When you honor God with your tithe and your offering, as you're releasing it, just declare, Father, speak for me. And the Word of God says that when we honor Him with our tithe and our offerings, that He will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Amen? That's why we want God to speak for us. Father, speak for me. Rebuke the devourer. I don't want when things are being put together for me that the enemy comes there like, you know, Pac-Man and starts eating up my stuff. No, I want continued growth and increase. The blessings of God in my life. God will speak, will thunder against those forces of darkness. And that He will use my mouth, hallelujah, to declare things. That He will use other people's mouths to declare things in the realm of the Spirit that change the trajectory, like we said this morning, of our lives. I need to get in a particular mood and arrive at my destination to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Rise with me. Let us pray. Let's continue to bring our gifts unto the Lord. I will fill out my envelope. I gave my offering that was meant for this evening, this morning, towards what we're doing, and didn't have enough time to fill out my envelope for this evening. I will do that immediately. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your authority. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us. Lord, we ask that you speak for us. And Lord, we ask, oh God, that we will come into that place where we recognize that you are the God who lives in us. And Father, that we can speak life and change and not give room to the devil in any area of our lives. We declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, that whatever you have not planted in our lives, be rooted out. Your will is not for us to be poor. Your will is not for us to be defeated. Your will is not for us to be sick. Your will is not for us, O God, to continue walking in shame and confusion. Your will, O God, is good. The thoughts that you have concerning us is good. And Lord, O God, we ask, O God, that your will in the heavens be manifested in us and through us here in the earth. And Lord, O God, that Father, that the forces of grace will go forth even now and begin to dismantle and destroy every activity of darkness. Your word says, O God, that you sent a John the Baptist to come before you, to make straight the path and to level the plain, the mountains and fill up the valleys. Lord, O God, let there be John the Baptist, Lord, O God, man of war that will go ahead of us. Lord, O God, in the name of Jesus, to bring about restoration. When we're reminded about John, we're reminded, Father, that his father was dumb and mute. And that the first words that came out of his mouth after John was born was, his name is John. It was a name that was not natural to his family line. Lord, do a new thing in our lives. Let every son and daughter in this house testify of the newness, O God, of your goodness in their lives. Answer the cries of their heart. Help them to prophesy not their needs, but the solution. Let them say, thank you that I am blessed and I'm wealthy, for in the house of the righteous is wealth and riches. Rather than say, God, I am broke, I don't have enough money, let them say differently. Let them say, thank you, Lord, for the children that you have given to me. Thank you, Lord, for my sons and my daughters. Rather than saying, Lord, I am barren and I need a child. Father, let the words out of the mouths of your people be prophetic, not pathetic. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes. They 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 said, yes. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Well, we'll see you next on Friday. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bob, Robert, I'd like to talk with you.